Thank you, worship team, choir. Amen. Amen. Wow, that was something else. I'm having a good day, amen? How about you? I appreciate y'all showing up. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, guys. Man, when y'all make the CD, make sure that one's on there, okay? All right, man, because there's too many of you to ride around the car and sing it to me, all right? So I need it on the CD, all right? Colossians chapter 3. Picking back up today, got to finish what I started last week. We're talking about our home life, how to turn your home into a palace. Let me just give you a quick review last week. Colossians 3, 18, 19 says, wives, submit your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. There we talked about really the wives, about having a submissive spirit, and talked about that, gave you a quote. Some of the ladies grabbed a hold of this quote. I hope it blessed them. Cynthia Held, who writes a lot of Bible studies for ladies ministry, she said this, quote, submission is ducking so that God has a clear shot at your husband. All right? So you got that? Now, men, listen, there's no command in the Bible for you to force your wife into submission. That's not submission, that's subjection. It's her way to honor you, to love you. A Christian wife has to make this choice out of reverence for the Lord Jesus. Let me remind you of a submissive spirit, what it means. Submissive spirit means that wives keep a positive attitude about life and marriage, even when it could be better. All right? So that's that. Now, husbands, let me review that for you. Husbands, give sacrificial love. Husbands, give sacrificial love. That word love there comes from verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. And it's from the Greek word agape, which means a sacrificial love. Now, a lot of folks get engaged, enter into marriage, and it's probably more kind of a romantic type of love. This is a different kind of love. It's a deeper type of love. It's the love that actually took on the meaning of the type of love that Jesus showed us, and is the type of love that those earlier Christ followers showed one another when the Roman Empire and the neighbors and the citizens and the folks that lived next door, they were just amazed at the devotion and the dedication that these folks that were followers of Christ seemed to show to one another. That kind of love. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, men, that we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. Now, that's a tall order. Man, that's a sacrificial type of love. Now, and I gave you this definition, guys, about husband. Husband comes from an old Norse word which meant to hold the house together. I love that definition. But what about the kids? What about the kids? What about the parental relationship? You know, you've heard the old poems, Susie and Billy, you know, sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, you know, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby carriage. So what about the kids? What about raising the kids? Today we're going to get to that part of this. Look in the Bible with me. It says this, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So, who better to introduce this sermon than the man who wrote a book on fatherhood himself? When I was growing up, we tuned in to watch his family and him and his wife deal with raising kids every week or so on the Cosby Show. Watch this. Bill Cosby is Dr. Huxtable having a conversation with Theo.
Right. Okay, suppose you graduate from high school. Let's say you just slide by. All right, now you got to find a job. Now, what kind of salary do you expect for a regular person?
$250 a week.
$250 a week?
Yeah.
Sit down. I'm going to give you $300 a week. Yes, indeed. $300 a week, $1,200 a month. All right?
Great, I'll take it.
Yes, you will. And I will take $350 for taxes.
Whoa!
Huh? Yeah, because the government comes for the regular people first. Now, how much does that leave you with?
$850.
All right. Now, you've got to have an apartment because you are not going to live here. So, an apartment in Manhattan will run you at least $400 a month.
I'll live in New Jersey.
All right. Live in New Jersey, you've got to have a car.
I'll ride a motorbike.
You need a helmet. Figure $100 a month for clothes and shoes.
Figure $200. I want to look good.
Okay, so what does that leave you with?
$200. So no problem.
There is a problem. You haven't eaten yet.
I can get by on bologna and cereal. So I got everything I need plus $200 left for the month.
You plan to have a girlfriend?
For sure.
Parenthood. Childhood. Let's talk about that for a few moments. Let's pray and ask God to enlighten us today. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray now that we'll turn to the word of God and seek your wisdom, Lord, and commit it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, thank you for speaking to us about something as near and dear to our soul as the home and family life. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon wives and husbands and children and fathers and mothers, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's zero in on that, kind of point three, point four here. Children, let's start with you. Children, look with me. Everybody look with me at verse 20. Children, it says, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So here's the statement. Here's the direction to the children. Children, show faithful obedience. Show faithful obedience. Now, school is back in session here, so Let's kind of talk about our homework as children. All right, here's the homework, okay? Here it is. Obey your parents always. The word obedience here, it means this, guys. It means a readiness to hear and then to carry out the orders, all right? That's the idea of obedience. Children are charged here to obey their parents. And here's the simple process of obedience, all right? Here it is. Now catch this. It's hearing, it's understanding, and then it's responding, all right? That is the picture of obedience. Now, it's interesting here. Remember, I was telling the other week, the book Colossians, it was written by the Apostle Paul, sent there to the Christian church there in Colossae, and just as the book of Ephesians was and the others. And what they would have done is they would have gathered together, and typically what they would have most likely have done, instead of carving up into individual sermons like we've been doing, they would have sat there as a congregation, as a family of faith, as the church, and perhaps the pastor would have gotten up and he would have read them this letter and this teaching. So there certainly is the implication here that you have the children actually in the service with them. And I know there's some debate about, you know, well, when children can come in service. Hey, let me just ease your mind on something. Because every now and then, you know, folks are, you know, I know that maybe your kids are fidgeting there. Now understand, Jennifer and I, we have three children, all right? We have three children. So we know what it is, but what it is to have the kids out there. Folks, sometimes kind of even concerned that your kids are distracting me. Hey, your kids are not distracting me. I am glad your kids are in here. And you say, well, I'm not really sure they're getting anything out of the service. I tell you what, I am amazed time and time again how I hear what children are getting. Let me tell you what they've gotten so far. So far, you know what your children have seen? Your children have seen you as you worship as a family. This is what your children have seen. Your children have seen you praise the Lord. Your children have seen you come together and to greet other family members in Jesus' name. Your children have come and they have seen you give your tithes and offerings. Maybe some of you give online. If you do that, hey, every now and then, I encourage you, pull your children in there and teach them that you're giving unto the Lord. Take some opportunity to give them an opportunity to give unto the Lord. Sometimes what I'll do with our offering envelope is I'll take it and I'll give it to our 8-year-old son, Mark, and I'll say, now, Mark, listen, I'm entrusting this to you. You're going to give the offering today, and I'm trying to teach him what it is to lead a family in that way. Your children are watching you right now. Take notes, and maybe they're doodling. Maybe you're doodling. I don't know. I mean, you're sitting there, and they're absorbing, and they're learning not just from what they hear me say, but they're learning from what they see you do. So, children, listen to me. The Bible's for you. Children, it says, show faithful obedience. Listen, younger folks, your obedience isn't just pleasing to your earthly father and mother. The Bible here is telling us that it is pleasing to your heavenly Father. You know what? In Luke chapter 2, we're told that Jesus, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Son of God, obeys his earthly mother and father. And this is the Son of God. Don't you think it would have every now and then been tempting to Jesus? And Jesus, we're told Jesus was tempted, but in all things he did not sin. Listen, don't you think every now and then Jesus must have been tempted? Hey, listen, why don't you just tell him who you are? Say, hey, listen, I'm the Son of God. Just back off, all right? I'll come home when I want to come home, all right? Listen, I can command the storms to stop. You don't have to worry about me out there riding my donkey around the neighborhood with some of my friends, all right? I'll be all right. You know, what's the deal with this curfew? Listen, the Bible tells us Jesus obeyed his earthly father and mother. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with the Lord and with those who observed him. Oh, man, folks, listen, children, show faithful obedience. You got to obey your parents in the Lord. And understand this, honoring your parents pleases the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 in the Bible, you might want to just turn back there in the Bible, right before there. They're looking a couple pages before where we were. Ephesians 6, listen to this. Paul kind of expands on this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's chapter 6, Ephesians, verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now granted, there can be some examples, I'm sure someone could give me, of some parent asking some child to do some ungodly thing. Well, we know that that's not right. That's not what's being taught. You're to obey them in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says this, though, and it expands. Honor your father and mother. And then catch this. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Listen, honoring your parents pleases the Lord. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it is a commandment given us there, a specific promise attached to it, meaning not just a long life, but it means one filled with God's presence and God's favor. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 adds that it may go well with you. So understand this. This is serious business. God includes this command as the first command given in the list of his top 10, the 10 commandments. He gives us commands related to him and worshiping him, and then he addresses obeying your parents. He means business. This is serious business. In fact, you can go in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, there's portions of the Old Testament that were laws, even civil laws, that were given to the new nation of Israel to help them begin to learn how they could build families and be the type of representatives for God there amongst those pagan nations. And there were some stringent laws. In fact, there was one law that was in effect back then, one law that was in effect that actually said that if you cursed your mother and father, you could be stoned. The death penalty applied to you. Now, understand this. There are no documented cases of that ever occurring. But I have to wonder if it wasn't threatened every now and then. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, you know what it says in Leviticus? You know what? You better not. It reminds me of another Bill Cosby quote where he said, listen, I brought you in this world, and I can take you out, and then I can make another one that looks just like you. All right, remember that, you know? Understand this. This is serious business, obeying your mother and father. Colossians chapter 3 is very practical like this, dealing with home life and family life. Children, show faithful obedience. And then understand this. Quite often, your mother and father may know better than you. I wrote down here on a piece of paper, they're smarter than you. And let me give you something from Proverbs chapter 6. Take this piece of advice from God's Word. Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 23. Let me kind of give it to you in a paraphrase. Good friend, follow your father's advice. Don't wander off from your mother's teachings. Wrap yourself in them from head to foot. Wear them like a scarf around your neck. Wherever you walk, they'll guide you. Whenever you rest, they'll guard you. When you wake up, they'll tell you what's next. For sound advice is a beacon. Good teaching is a light. Moral discipline is a life path. You know what? If you have parents who by the grace of God are your parents, who are by the grace of God and under the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, attempting to lead you in the Lord, to lead you to honor the Lord, children, children of all ages, that is reason to praise God right there. That is reason to praise His name. So understand this. God's Word says, children, show faithful obedience. And then we come to the parents. Now we come in Colossians chapter 3. We come here to this verse, verse 21, and it says this. Fathers. Now, specifically addressed there's fathers. Now, many theologians, commentaries will tell you that certainly this applies. This applies generically because right in the previous verse, the reference is made to parents. And I think certainly you may be a single mother here. I want you to take God's Word to heart today. I hope also you'll understand that as a church family, we come together and praise God, and we need to keep praying for this. God can raise up other men, can raise up men in this church family that love the Lord, that can hopefully be a mentor and be an example and be teachers to your children and run interference for you. You may be a single father. Praise God for the many ladies here in this congregation who love and teach our children. You saw Tim Sheffield right up there in front of the those rising fourth graders, and there with the keyboard, and there you have an example of a man of the Lord teaching those boys and girls amongst with that team that he works with upstairs. Perhaps you're here, husband and wife, mom and dad, sitting right there on that row together right now. Take these words to heart. But I don't want it to be lost on us, fathers, though, that it is undeniable, written right here in the Bible, this specific address to us. Because I think if I just said, well, just kind of make this all to parents just in general, you can make that case. But fathers, I hope you will especially sit up and listen for the next few moments. Because I tell you what, I'm right there with you. As I said, I'm a father of three. 3, 8, and 11. I'm right there with you. So here is our direction. Write it down. Fathers, model patient wisdom. Fathers, model patient wisdom. Now I tell you what, it is a challenge. Parenthood is a challenge. In fact, I read this little kind of article here, this little illustration that kind of, it's called kind of a test. Or kind of, I guess, something to practice at to prepare yourself if you're going to be a first-time parent. I wonder if you can identify with this. Listen, this is supposed to help any couple discover, you know, how close they are to being ready for parenthood. Here it is. First of all, go to the local drugstore, dump the contents of your wallet and purse on the counter, and tell the pharmacist just to help himself, all right? Just do that right there. Then next, go to the supermarket, arrange to have your salary paid directly to its home office, all right? Because you're just going to need a direct channel of money for all the baby food and the diapers and all that business. Then go buy yourself a newspaper. Sit down as a couple. Enjoy reading it. Because it may be the last time for a long time that you're going to have the opportunity to do that. All right? Then find a couple who already have children. Go berate them for all of their mistakes and lack of understanding. And really enjoy it, because this is going to be the last time in your life you have all the answers. All right? And then listen, you got to learn to repeat yourself at least 5 times. All right? That is very critical. And then this last little drill here is important. I want you to take a cantaloupe or a watermelon, and I want you to hollow it out, put it back together, and then put a hole about that big right there in the front of it. Then I want you to take a string, and I want you to suspend it from the ceiling, and I want you to push it so it kind of starts swinging like this back and forth. Then I want you to go make a bowl of Fruit Loops and get them real soggy. Then I want you to come back while making airplane noises, and I want you to proceed to put those Fruit Loops into the mouth of that watermelon that you made, all right? All right, now listen. Make sure you spill a lot. Then you're going to be prepared for feeding 12-month-old, all right? That's just kind of a word there. And I had a friend one time. I don't know if he overheard me say it or if he was telling me about someone else who said it, but the dad made the reference that he was getting ready to go home because his wife had to go run some errands and he was going to be babysitting his children. And this friend of mine made this statement. It may have been me who said I was going on a babysit. He said, you're not babysitting. You have the privilege of raising children. So here's something to consider. Let's not see parenthood as obligation. See it as opportunity. And I tell you what I am learning is the window of opportunity closes fast. So let me be real practical here, because look at verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Or embittered is another word. It means to provoke or irritate them. It's the idea of almost kind of overcorrecting to the point of harassment. Now understand this. Hey, anybody who knows me very well, listen, I am no like Dr. Spock, all right? And I'm not talking about Star Trek. I'm talking about the guy who wrote the book about raising kids, all right? And I'm not one to say, well, you know, just let them get by with whatever, you know, and they'll come back around. No, I tell you what, I was raised with a certain amount of discipline. And I think here when we talk about modeling this patient wisdom, listen, children, it means this. Moms and dads, there needs to be discipline from us. There needs to be direction from us. But you certainly, Mark, you take this to heart, son, because I know I am not a perfect father. I hope you don't mistake my devotion or my love, deep abiding, because I tell you what, guys, listen to this. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Us dads in here before God, we would not want our children to be discouraged in the Lord or embittered towards Him. So I tried to write down some practical kind of thoughts to help us with this, because John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, listen to what he said. Man, this just pierced me. This is what he said. The man who wrote Amazing Grace, he said this: I know that my Father loved me, but He did not seem to wish me to see it. And listen to this statement I wrote down. Christian fathers should be sure their children are as sure of their love as they are of their authority. So let's be real practical here. Because it's kind of like I think it's the Home Depot commercial. It says, let's build something together. Hey, dads, let's build something together. Let's build some homes together, all right? Because this is what the Bible says in Psalm 127. It says, our children, they're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. All right, listen. So let's learn how we can sharpen our arrows. Here's some techniques, some home building techniques. Just jot some of these down, because the window of opportunity is brief, and we don't want to provoke them lest they become discouraged. We want to build them up. What's the opposite of provoking them? Man, we want to build them up. We want to promote them in the Lord. Here, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, accept their uniqueness. Jot that down. Accept their uniqueness. Now, what do I mean by that? Understand this. Our children sometimes come to us and they exert pressure to conform because they feel it themselves. There's a pressure to conform. It comes out like this. Well, you know what? So-and-so's got one. So-and-so's getting to do this. So-and-so is allowed to do this, and we will feel this pressure to conform. We will also sometimes, though, as parents, exert the pressure of comparison, the pressure to compare. Hey, why aren't you more like this? Man, she's like that. Why don't you straighten up and be like that? Hey, understand this. Each of our children are unique in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6 tells us that God works through people in different ways. Galatians 6, 4 warns us not to overly compare ourselves to others. So we need to accept that each of our children are unique. That's what's interesting now that we have three children. They each have similarities, but we begin to see signs of their uniqueness. Accept their uniqueness. Number two, affirm their value. Matthew 10, not even a sparrow, we're told, can fall to the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing it. And listen, you are much more valuable than they are. Our children should know that we affirm their value. Psalm 139 tells us that we were formed, that God formed our inward parts, that we were knitted together in our mother's womb, and that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Affirm our children's value. So we're trying to be godly parents. How does God affirm us? I'll give you some thoughts. Pays attention to us. It requires us to pay attention to our children. You know, in Matthew 10, Jesus says that God even has the hairs on our head numbered. God pays that kind of attention. Sometimes I have to be diligent. I'm going to have to be diligent. I'm going to have to be diligent as a dad to sit there and to observe. Pay attention to what's going on in my children's lives. Guys, I know that this is a tall order, okay? It's a tall order. We're talking about building techniques right here, okay? If we were going to sit out and try to go rebuild your house, maybe a storm came, we were going to do some work on our house. You know, we would take some diligence, and we would have to learn some techniques. So just take these techniques to heart. All right, let's just take them to heart as brothers in the Lord together. Affirming their value, the Lord shows affection to us. In the book of Hosea, God says, I drew them to me with affection and love. And then express appreciation. That's a way to affirm our children. Proverbs 12:25, a word of encouragement does wonders. God says to us that we are precious to Him and honored and that He loves us. Isaiah chapter 43. Accept their uniqueness, affirm their value. Number three, trust them with responsibility. Now, Jesus said in Luke 16 that we can be trusted. If we can be trusted with little, we can be trusted with more. Let me tell you a definition of responsible. Responsibility. It is response able. Responsible. Response plus able. You see, when we trust our children with some growing amounts of responsibility, what I'm learning here is I'm learning that I'm showing them that I trust them, that I see them as being able to have some responsibilities. That's greatly encouraging to them. That is building them up. Now listen, what you expect, remember to inspect. So children, there's going to need to be some accountability there from us as your parents. Number four, it's a biggie. Correct without condemning. And I know that can be hard. Let me just remind us here. Proverbs 19, discipline your children while they're young. Proverbs 13, if we fail to discipline, He proves that we don't love our children. So listen, we have to discipline. And tough love hurts to do sometimes. It can be hard on us as fathers, hard on us as parents, can it? So how do we correct without condemning? Here's a thought. Never correct in anger. That can be hard to do because sometimes they just make me mad. I just, you know what I'm saying? Anybody ever been there? Please, somebody nod. Don't, if you're, man, I may be the only one of the bunch. You know, I'm sitting here, man, I'm the loser here, you know? No, man, we got to be careful not to correct in anger. And that's why when you read Colossians, see, that's what's happening here is we're learning things like, you know what? And that's why this book is so practical. So practical. I told the early service, I'm tempted to go back and preach through the book Colossians all over again just because I'm like, wow, we just need to keep reviewing this. And so I tell you what, man, sit there and take Colossians 3 and write down some of these personality traits I talked about the other week. How we forgive, showing kindness and humility and patience. Man, I tell you what, that is a work in progress. But you know what the book Colossians taught us the other week? Christ is in us, amen? Christ is in us, amen? He is in us. And He is going to finish this work He's begun in us. Never correct in anger. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Here's the picture. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. And then I tell you another way to be careful you don't correct in, that you can correct without condemning. Here it is. Watch your words. I have to be careful with that. I make a living getting paid by the word, all right? I mean, I do a lot of talking, all right? I do a lot of speaking, do a lot of talking to groups, do a lot of talking to individuals, do a lot of stuff like this. And you know what? You know, and I can be pretty quick with a quip. You know, I can, with a saying, with whatever here or there. But understand this: there's a dark side to that I've learned about myself. Is I can be sarcastic. I can be sarcastic, and I need to be careful with my words, because you see, you can use your words. The Bible tells us we can use our words to build up and encourage. We can also use them to tear them up, tear people up. Boy, I tell you what, that grabs me. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, listen, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Number five, love them unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. You know what? Offer forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. That's what you see the father offer the prodigal. Offer them forgiveness. The Bible tells us, forgive as Christ forgave us. Now understand, repentance is involved. Confession is involved in forgiveness. We have to teach our children the picture of forgiveness because it is often in the family relationship that they first begin to get the picture of forgiveness. Here's another thought, loving unconditionally. Never give up on them. 1 Corinthians 13, love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Don't give up. Don't give up on your prodigal. Don't give up on them. So dads, let me just talk imano di mano here, okay? Applies to all parents, but just let me talk dad to dad here. See, you want to be a godly parent. You want to be a good parent. Here's what hits me. You want to be a good parent? We're just going to have to continue by God's grace to say, Lord, make me into a godly person. I'll be a good parent as I grow as a godly person. Give you a paraphrase of Proverbs 14:26. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. Listen to that. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. That's growing in godliness. And when that happens, his children have a place of refuge and security. Sounds like being a pretty decent parent to me. So let me give you give me an invitation here. First of all, I invite you to open your life to Christ. Come to Christ. If you are not surrendered to Jesus Christ, and your boys and girls are here today, and they've begun to hear about Jesus, maybe they came to Vacation Bible School, maybe they play football for us here at Upward or something like that, I guarantee you, what they would want most for their birthday or Christmas or today isn't a new bike. Down deep, if they were really pressed, they'd want you to come to Jesus. They'd want you to come and say, Jesus, I trust you with my life. So I invite you to come to Jesus. Fathers here also, ask your wife and your children to pray for you. That is very humbling. We are wired to be the guardians. We grew up as little boys playing the hero, being Superman. We're Batman. We're not the Penguin. That's what we play. I mean, maybe we make a kid play the Penguin. It's just because we're bigger than him, probably. But you know what I'm saying, right? We dream of being the guardian. But men, we need to ask them to pray for us. It is a spiritual battle. Ask them to pray for you. Get the support of others. We've been talking about men's fraternity. That's a great support. Great support. Get in a Bible study group. Moms, you know, man, you can form these Moms in Touch prayer groups and, you know, mothers of preschool, moms groups. We need stuff like that so we can come together and get the support of others. We need to come together and to pray and know we're not in this alone. Because we're not. And the sooner we understand we're in this together, the better off we'll be when one day we find ourselves eating at the same wedding rehearsal dinner. And you're the in-laws. Or we're the in-laws. Get the support of others. You say, well, I don't have children. How's this playing? You know what? We need your prayers. We need your partnership. We need your support. Remember when we do parent-child dedication? You're invited to step up with us because that's why we're a church. We're in this together. See, these boys and girls, there's some things. We're talking about this week with our pastors. You know, my kids sometimes learn from you something they may not learn from me, all for the glory of God. We're in this together. We need the support of others. You can find that in a church family like we have here. And then kids, let me ask you to do something. Let me ask you to honor us. Honor your mother and father. Honor. So I want to do something in closing. I want to specifically, I hope you'll allow me to do this, I want to specifically pray for dads. I want to pray for you fathers. And so I want to just ask us all to bow our heads in prayer. And I want to ask the fathers to stand to their feet right where you are. You're just going to stand right where you are. Just dads, let's stand up. Let's stand. And I want to pray for you as a father in the foxhole with you. Thank you for giving me the privilege to do this. Wife, mother, children, right now, you pray for the man you have standing up. Pray for his brothers in the Lord. You're single. you pray for God's hand. Father, we come to you now, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray specifically right at this moment for dads. Because Lord, sometimes I'll confess to you, my kids, sometimes I know I'm raising them, but sometimes they are raising dad. Because I'm learning so much from them. I'm learning so much of what I need to be. And down deep, God, so much of what I really want to be. But Lord, sometimes as dads, and I pray on behalf of all my brothers here, sometimes, Lord, we just feel overwhelmed. Lord, sometimes we're not even sure how to express because we want to protect. We want to guard our family. We're not even really sure how to express our thoughts. God, I pray you will help us as men to know we're not in this alone. Lord, most of all, I pray that these men, each and every one, would just come to you, Lord Jesus. Place their faith and trust in you. And realize that we need you, Lord, to help us to build this home. God, thank you for these men for being here today. Thank you, Lord, and I pray they will feel affirmed and that their families will thank them verbally that they are here with them today. Because they have taken a great step in already leading their family that sometimes, God, we take for granted. So, God, I pray these guys will even start and they'll begin to look at how they're already, Lord, doing right things. And God, I pray you'll just encourage us and strengthen us so we can build even stronger homes. And, Lord, now I want to pray for all parents. I want to pray for mothers. I want to pray for grandparents. I want to pray for children here. Because, Father, I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a son. I'm a brother. So, Lord, I pray you will help me to just keep seeking your face in building a home. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as your people. Lord, thank you for those who have invested countless hours in representing you, Jesus, to my children, to encouraging and allowing my family just to be who we are, but cheering us on. God, may we do that for others. May we never, ever forget that there are countless families in this community that we, Lord Jesus, can be a blessing to. May you use us as a church to be that. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite everybody else to stand now to your feet. We're going to have a song. We're going to sing together. And I pray that it'll encourage you. And as you sing this song to the Lord, maybe you're here today, and today is the day you need to come forward and talk to one of our ministers about coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I invite you to do that. They're here ready to talk with you, get your name, to counsel with you, and encourage you in taking that step of faith. Maybe you're ready to be baptized as a believer. We would love to talk with you about that. You come forward as we sing this song. Maybe you're ready to unite with this church family. Maybe you just want to come and kneel in prayer. We're here for you. Take the time of this song as you sing it, as you listen to it, as you seek God, to seek His face. Because Jesus said this, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. May God's Word, may God's Spirit, may the Lord Jesus Himself reassure you this day. May you bless the Lord forever and ever. May you trust Him at all times. He is your rock and your redeemer. You're never alone. Never. Praise His name. You come to Him now. You come to Him. God bless you.